This show is part of the Pika Science Podcast, studying the intersection of video games and science.
Who's that podcast host? It's...
I'm Anaru.
Welcome back, everyone. And today I'm joined with... Wait a second, who are you?
Hello, I'm Anaru.
That's who you are. So, Anaru, what is your background and field of study?
I am an economist, is what people tell me. I've studied behavioral economics. I am going for my MBA right now. And so it's a lot of the financial, econ, businessy side of things.
Okay. So what kind of work have you done in your field?
A lot of it is research-based, especially using the statistics type of knowledge that I've used. That in conjunction with the financial knowledge I have means that a lot of what I do is almost like consulting in a way. So far, it's been primarily for college-related projects and in the real workforce regarding financial specific things. But as time goes on, I'm trying to more focus it towards the business analytics and trying to be able to use the data I have and the data that the company has to be able to actually translate into results.
Okay. So then I guess my next question is, what kind of work have you done with podcasting?
Podcasting? A lot. Mostly self-created. So in the podcasting universe, my biggest claim to fame prior to, or maybe including, depending on the number of subscribers we get on Pika Science, so if you haven't subscribed, subscribe already, biggest quote-unquote claim to fame is another show I do called Not a Scratch. It is a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon TTRPG, actual play podcast, where you effectively take Dungeons and Dragons, take out the dungeons, keep some of the dragons, and replace it with Pokemon. It's sort of Mystery Dungeon, but TTRPG-ified. With a system I created, brought in a couple of friends, and we've been doing this now for nearly 4 years as of this point.
Well, I mean, just dragon types, right?
Dragon types, yes. Yeah, we keep the dragon types. We don't necessarily keep all of the dungeons and dragons, because depending on power scaling, that might, I don't know which side that benefits, because I'm not as familiar with Dungeons and Dragons, but one side is clearly going to be overpowered.
Okay, cool. So I guess, what other experiences do you have that will help you as part of the team here?
So a lot of it is based on the background and teams that I've worked on in the past. So in terms of the podcasting side of thing, I've done a lot with it in terms of front facing, like being the voice of a show, especially for a specific type of shows. And in the background, the like audio editing, video editing, that sort of side of things I've done for my shows in the past. So hopefully I can bring that to Pika Science. And on the econ side of things, I know it's an idea, and we were talking about this, Madison, in the past, bringing econ into the show and bringing that sort of behavioral econ aspect of it. So ideally, I can hope and provide some of that for the content we make going forward.
Yeah, and I enjoy the econ talk, because I think a lot of time people forget the value of the social sciences.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. Who is your favorite Pokemon?
My favorite Pokemon is Wigglytuff, which is potentially a random Pokemon to most people, because it's not necessarily one of the more well-seen, I think. It's not prominent in the games or the anime like a Pikachu or a Charizard, but it is very prevalent in the Mystery Dungeon games, which was my introduction to Pokemon as a whole, especially the first two generations. Wigglytuff's just this lovable goofball that you don't want to get on their angry side, because otherwise they have this raw power behind them. And I feel like I relate to that in some aspect.
Okay. So what do you want to talk about most on the show?
I think it'd be fun to bring economics as a whole into the show, having the idea of taking those econ concepts and bringing them here, because econ is commonly referred to as like the boring science, because it's not as fascinating to most people. And I can sort of see why. It's a very numerically based and dry subject, as opposed to your chemistries or biologies, where they're much more interactive. But hopefully I can bring some of that same sort of enthusiasm that many people have for biology, chemistry, physics, astronomy, and try to bring that in for economics as a whole. So a lot of it is going to be focused on like the standard aspects of economics, the rules and the laws of econ. And then from there, hopefully being able to introduce some of the behavioral econ topics. So why these rules aren't always followed.
I'd really like to do a deep dive into the economics of various video games.
That could be fascinating.
I think that'd be a really fun miniseries.
That would be fun.
And it doesn't even have to be video games, because the economics of D&D is completely broken and makes no sense. I mean, yes. It's true though. Like you're like, hey, my sword costs more than a house.
Oh, it's a perfect example of that in the Not a Scratch show that I run right now. A lot of the numerical values are just based off the games, and so an apple, which is effectively the substitute for a meal, is the same as what I have had to make up on my own as a hotel stay, effectively. So you can either rest at a hotel for an 8-hour nap at minimum, like a night stay at a hotel, or go to Kangaskhan shop and buy a single apple, and both of them have roughly the same effect, except one of them is slightly longer time wise. That economy as a whole is kind of up and down anyway, and so D&D's probably got the same thing. Most other franchises will have like basic levels of scaling, like more powerful things cost more, but like when you break it down, it's probably not as logical.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it'd be a cool show to do.
It's a very interesting
economics of Xenoblade.
I'm totally not writing this down. Xenoblade is a franchise I know very little about, but I do know, A, it's popular, and B, I know the econ in that universe is just as wonky as everything else. So
It is insane, and I do love those games. I've played the first two Xenoblades. We have the third, but neither Kevin nor I have touched it. It's sitting on a shelf. Who has time to do anything when you have kids?
I say that
knowing that he played two games already that I bought him for Christmas, and he has already had time to complete. I have not. So I guess my next question is, how would you like to see the show change and grow? And I'm going to tell you, you are free to share some of the thoughts we have been discussing as a cast.
That's a good question. Because I know we've been going through some sort of almost like a restructuring or transition time right now, sort of reestablishing what our goals are and our ideals. So first that, I think that obviously be great to have that sort of base. And then from there, I guess trying to do more of those like community sort of events that have been done in the past, I think it'd be fun to at the very least experience them from a person on this side of the screen, I suppose, in this case, because most of my listenings to the show have been post joining, and so I can hear all of the sort of adventures and ideas and the type of episodes that you've done in the past, and those have brought up random ideas of different type of events that we could do going forward. So definitely once we fully establish ourselves and start running again, as opposed to walking, from there we can really start to get those community events and try to bring the audience into these this could be very interesting though very impossible to do. There are these like business town events that they do for schools. It'd be very cool to do that for a Pokemon version of it, where we try to teach econ concepts while having different cast members as different, you know, hi, I'm the bike shop owner, you're not allowed to be here because you can't buy our bikes, here's a demand supply explanation as to why.
Oh, like a Planet Money explainers.
Yes, kind of like that. That's yeah, another okay. Another idea there. This is again big idea.
Well, and we've talked about doing a mailbag episode where twice a year we would do that kind of thing. Each one of us pulls a question sent in, but I agree. I'd like to see more community events. We used to do a lot, and then life happened.
As it happens to us all.
Well, and I think the big thing last time is that for anyone who doesn't know, your show was in PCN with us. Mm-hmm. I think that last time we were lucky enough that we had a lot of fan support to help run the events or help manage what we were doing, because Jared was just a fan and was helping plan and organize stuff back then.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that our goal to make this more of a collaborative project in general is beneficial.
Absolutely.
We got away from that, and we used to do more of that, and I just want to get back there.
Of course, yeah.
So, okay, cool. Now the fun question.
Oh boy.
What was your first experience playing Pokemon?
Ooh, okay. So first Pokemon game, I sort of touched on it previously. My first Pokemon game was Blue Rescue Team. It wasn't one of the standard main series games. And so my Pokemon knowledge at that point was the anime and that specific game, which is very different because you are a Pokemon. It's not you being a trainer. You're going on an adventure where you control one character with four moves and you're moving. It's like a dungeon crawler game as opposed to the main series games where you're kind of exploring a region as a whole and can change your team at will, and there's like a wide variety to play of those games. But Blue Rescue Team was my first game. You take a quiz in Blue Rescue Team to determine your starter. It's based like a personality quiz. And the starter that I got was Bulbasaur. And so that's technically my first starter in a way, I suppose. My partner Pokemon I chose was Pikachu because it was the only one I recognized. And then from there, it was Bulbasaur and Pikachu trying to beat the game. I do remember over-leveling myself significantly, as most children tend to do when we play Pokemon games to start off with. We're definitely not min-maxing properly. And I think I beat the game at like level like high 40s, low 50s or something like that, which, to put in perspective, if I were to run through the game now, you probably beat them at high 20s if you're playing casually. And so I definitely just over-leveled and played the game incorrectly. But from there, I just got hooked onto Pokemon. And then from there, first main series game was Pokemon Diamond. And then I chose Piplup as my starter. I did the standard thing that most kids do where they play with one Pokemon but catch other Pokemon as well. So I had level 81 Empoleon and like a level 23 Roselia and Graveler and a bunch of other people. And then from there, just got hooked and continued playing the games. I don't know if you went through the same thing, Madison, but there's like a generation or two of like a quote unquote break period where you kind of separate from the game only to return back later. I don't know if you went through that.
So the only game I did not finish when it came out was Black 2 and White 2. And that was only because if I'm not mistaken, that came out the last year during my first master's.
Okay.
And it came out as I was finishing stuff and then beginning to look for a job.
Sure, sure.
So life just kind of happened. Like I have it. I almost beat it. That said, I still have not finished Scarlet. It just, I have not had the time. I kept saying I was going to do it over break and life happened. So
I feel that. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice to get some time. Yeah. But
So for me, at least, I think most teenagers, I was around a teenager at this point, sort of like not on purpose because I was still interested in Pokemon, but I just never went out to actually purchase the games. I kind of just absorbed the content on like YouTube or the anime or whatever other shows were there. So to this day, I still have not played through completely a Gen 5 game. I have not played through completely a Gen 6 game, like main series wise. And I did not play Sun or Moon. I officially got back into the series, I suppose, with Ultra Moon. And then from there, have had at least one playthrough. But there's this like large gap of lack of Pokemon content that I'm trying to supplement now, I suppose. So I'm trying to go back into those generations and be like, all right, what did I actually miss? Because while I know the stories and plot lines and everything for the most part, I know next to nothing about Black 2 and White 2. So that's the one generation that I still have that pure, like, that feeling you get when you play through the first game without a walkthrough or anything. I can do that for one game. And it's almost, it's like precious in a way of like, once I crack this open, it's going to be the last time until a new game comes out where I can have that sort of feeling. Because everything else, either accidentally or purposely, like spoilers have come in, or I know like, oh, this city comes first, this city's next, these gym leaders are here, etc.
Yeah, so I had a few more questions here, actually. So if you could create a new Pokemon, what would it be and why?
Ooh, gosh, with new generations coming out, it makes it harder and harder to actually pick one. Because like the first thing that popped into mind was something like a chili spice thing. But Fuecoco is effectively that. So it's kind of hard to, it's a chili pepper as opposed to like spices itself. But
you mean not Fuecoco, but oh my gosh, well, I can't remember their name. The pepper dudes.
They're actual pepper dudes. If this is from the newer games, I'm still not completely caught up on the.
There is an actual pepper in Scarlet and Violet.
Oh, the Scovillain thing, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yep. that's another Pokemon there. Gosh, normally I go to like my default things, like what's my favorite animal? It's like an elephant. So, but we've had a few elephants. What could be interesting?
How dare you like elephants?
It's only the best.
It can be anything.
Gosh, you know what? Just because it'll be hilarious and it will not happen, we have two Pokemon that's effectively the Seviper and Zangoose. One's just a supply curve, one's a demand curve. They figured out how to make that interesting.
You heard it, Nintendo. That's what we need.
I'm telling you right now, when Pokemon when Pokemon Supply and Pokemon Demand come out, there's going to be an audience of one that purchases it, and it's going to be.
I already told you I'm buying it too. That's not happening.
It's an audience of two that purchases it, and it's going to be Madison buys one, I buy the other, so we get the version exclusives. That's it.
Yeah. All right. So my next question is, if you could make a new region, where would it be based on?
I'm very biased. So I'm of Indian heritage. And so very biased to say India itself, because it has all of the sort of main big sort of climates that you'd be interested in having. Like, you want a desert, it's got it. You want mountains, it's got it. You want a foresty area, it's got it. So immediately India comes to mind. I'm going to try to think of something else that isn't India, though, just to vary it up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think India is great. I would love to explore the Indian subcontinent.
India would be fun. I think I think the hints are suggesting that Gen 10 is potentially like the Australia or Oceania area.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that works right into play, where Australia is the main game.
Oh, you know what? I bet you it's that. I bet you it's not Australia. I bet you it's Oceania.
I feel like Australia main game, New Zealand DLC just fits perfectly.
Yeah. No, that makes sense, actually.
Right. So that's another area that'd be fascinating, because it has the same sort of things. It's got the deserts, it's got the forest, it's got the coastal areas for the big cities, etc. So,
well, and those are big areas for regionals too. So
absolutely, yeah,
it'd be a good tie-in. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have a few more fun, silly, ridiculous questions now.
Go for it.
If you were a salad, what type of dressing would you have, and why?
I rarely eat salads, which feels odd being vegetarian, but it just is not part of my diet, I suppose. So the only things I can think of are, like, you know, ranch and basic other things like that. I'll go with the ranch, I suppose, because ranch I feel like works well for a salad.
Okay.
Just a classic vegetable plus thing that makes it slightly unhealthy. That, you know, the ranch is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to disagree, because I think ranch is terrible.
I also have not had many salad dressings, so there might be something that's just in the abyss that I don't know about, because I rarely eat salads.
I mean, Haley loves ranch. Ranch is on everything.
When it hits, it hits.
Things that do not need ranch.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far, but for a salad, at least, I think I would go with ranch.
Okay, so what three famous people would you have to a dinner party?
Okay, I think every time I am asked this question, it is always a different set of people. And so we're just going to find out my mood set today based on my three answers. Gosh, who would I go with? I joke around about this in my real world. And they're not, they might be three people that hang out occasionally, though I highly doubt at the same time. But I am a massive sports nut. And I'm also a big comedy guy. And so three people at a dinner table that I would love to join with are, if they could combine their jobs into one, my ideal job, which is Jon Stewart, Kevin Harlan, Rich Eisen. Jon Stewart, I think a lot of people know, Comedy Central Daily Show host for the long time. He's back now on Mondays, which is very fun.
Yeah.
Kevin Harlan announces games, so he's the voice for, like, football games or basketball games, primarily says big sports. And then Rich Eisen is sort of the face of NFL Network. He's basically a big football guy. He does a radio show as well. And so some combination of that would be fantastic for me, to, like, call sports games and, like, talk about sports for 3 hours on a radio show. And, you know, talk about, like, the sports I'm fascinated with and the players that are out there, the way that, because even in sports, the amount of math and numbers and econ that goes into that is fascinating for me. So those three, why not? I'll just try to pick their minds, see how I could tap into all three of their industries at once and make up a job that doesn't exist.
Okay. So finally, if you were a brand, what would be your slogan?
Oh, gosh. I'll tell you this. This is something that I have not done for a while. This is a company that is restructured, I suppose, like, with a new slogan and everything, because this was not my philosophy or how I operated for a long time. But I've tried to do this more because of the number of things that I feel like have just passed me by. So the brand of me slogan, every second counts, count them.
Oh.
So taking advantage of every second that exists. And it's not literally every second, but take advantage of the opportunities and the doors that are available in front of you. Because a lot of times in my past, I've seen opportunities that are intriguing, and I just let them go past because I'm not interested or I'm lazy, etc. And at a certain point, it was kind of leading me to just kind of float on the water, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Just kind of bided my time, and at a certain point I'd realized, oh, it's been, you know, months or years since I've really done anything huge, and I had all these sort of dreams and ideals when I was younger about like, oh, I'm going to do this and this and this. And then once I come into the real world, I kind of just float for a while. And so for the past year-ish, I've really been trying to stick to that idea of like every second counts. So as long as you can wake up in the morning and go to sleep, if you can go to sleep every day with an idea of here's one interesting thing I did, whether it's cool or not, whether it's good or not, here's one interesting, fascinating thing I did. It could be as simple as like, oh, I sent a LinkedIn request to this one person I've been meaning to do for a while. As long as I feel like I can keep progressing forward, I'll know that those seconds have counted.
Aww, I love that.
Motivational talk.
I love that. That's great. Well, I have to say, I am genuinely happy you're here. And I am excited to see what's to come. And I don't know, I think we got a good future ahead of us.
Of course. I'm excited to contribute as much as I can, give as much as I can, and hopefully start to see the results of whatever type of content I can provide.
Just don't cut off your left arm, okay?
I will attempt not to.
Okay. Okay. I know it's hard. It's hard.
It's hard. It's hard. Hard. I don't use it. It's just here.
Just sitting there.
It's sitting there, so, menacingly.
On that note, it was lovely having you, and we'll see you all here next time on Who's That Podcast Host.
All right. Thanks, everyone.